Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You have basically two different kinds of prayer. You have prayer from the heart. It's sometimes called ex corde prayer, just Latin for out of the heart. And you have written prayers. So what are the dangers of prayers that are purely out of the heart? And what are the potential dangers of written prayers? The Lord's Prayer, obviously a written prayer. Why do some Christians not pray it when Jesus said, when you pray, say? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Wednesday afternoon. It's part six of our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Members Knew About. And today we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He posts theology on the YouTube channel Wolfmiller One. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Hey, I got to hear the end of the Dr. McKenzie interview, and his Reformation book is one of the most beautiful books I think CPH has published. It's fantastic. So it's fantastic to hear his voice talking about it, too. It's great.
So we're going to be talking about a prayer that the vast majority of Christians in the world pray daily, and certainly it's part of their Sunday morning worship, and it's certainly part of their personal piety, the Lord's Prayer. But there is a swath of Christianity in the United States that eschews the Lord's Prayer, or in some cases may not use it, but they don't know why. Why do they, in this case, pop American Christianity, why do they eschew the Lord's Prayer, and why does that kind of lead them to be messed up on prayer in general?
I remember, now this is the extreme case, but I remember in Calvary Chapel hearing the teacher say that the Lord's Prayer belongs to the dispensation of the earthly kingdom. It's a Jewish prayer, not a Christian prayer. So it'll be used in the millennium, but we shouldn't use it now. That's because thy kingdom come. They believe that it hadn't come yet. It would come in the millennium. Now that's a pretty extreme argument. I think for most Christians, using a prayer that is written, that's familiar, that's shared with everybody, is considered not spiritual, because there's a mistake that happens in a lot of Christian circles, and that is that spontaneity and spirituality go together. That if it's from the heart, coming out of nowhere, spontaneous, then it's spiritual. But if it's not, if it's pre-written or pre-prepared, then it becomes rote and has nothing to do with the spiritual life that the Lord wants us to have. And that means that most Christians will eschew, and I think this is a pretty modern phenomenon, because there's a tradition of prayer books in every church tradition all the way back. But I think this really modern phenomenon that if you're just not making it up on the spot, then you are quenching the Holy Spirit. So we have to fight against that theological instinct that wants to connect spontaneity and spirituality.
So what are some other wrong ideas about the Lord's Prayer on the opposite side of the spectrum?
Well, I think, you know, we got that criticism from the evangelical side, from the charismatic side. Then you have from the Roman Catholic side, you have the idea that it must be from the tradition. It must be, you know, unless you're praying words that were composed by Pope Gregory or whatever, then it's not spiritual. So there's the idea, the kind of the opposite extreme, and that is that if it's not old, traditional, pre-prepared, and so forth, then it has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We want to develop our spirituality, that is our spiritual disciplines and our spiritual piety, from the scriptures. And the Bible will teach us both. In the Bible, there's a place for written prayer, and there's a place for ex corde prayer as well. And we want to see the errors of, or the dangers of both, and beware of them. But we want to see the gift of both of them as well. So I suppose, Todd, one of the approaches that we can take is we can say to the charismatic or evangelical friends who who see a written prayer as dangerous because it's rote, and that we draw near with our lips, but our hearts are far from the Lord, that our prayers have nothing to do with the actual experiences of our lives. We can see that danger, and we can say thank you for pointing us to that danger. But recognizing the danger of something doesn't mean that I don't use it at all. I mean, recognizing the danger of having a car doesn't mean I don't drive the car. It just means I drive it carefully. And we can also come from the other side as well, and we can recognize from the traditional side of things the dangers of excorde prayer, that which are a lot. In fact, it might be nice to kind of talk through that list. But just because we recognize the danger of something doesn't mean that we don't do it. So our own prayer life ought to be drawn from the richness of the Holy Scriptures, so that we begin by saying the words that the Lord gave us to say, and then expanding on that with the wisdom and the particular needs that the Lord has given us and shown us in our own lives.
You say that there's also a mistaken idea from people visiting. What is that?
Yeah, when people visit the church, one of the things that they assume, so this is helpful for what I wish my non-Lutheran family knew about prayer and the Lord's Prayer, and that is that they assume that what we do on Sunday is what we must do on Sunday. In other words, if they see something, for example, they see the pastor reading all of the prayers, pre-prepared prayers for the liturgy, for the collects, for the closing collects, the Lord's Prayer, and even in the prayer of the church, a lot of times pastors will read pre-written prayers, and they assume that because that's what he's doing, then that's what must be done, and that you can't pray from the heart, that there's no place for excorde prayer. We want to make sure that we don't make that leap. Just because we're doing something doesn't mean that that is what must be done. Sometimes something is done not because it's required, just because it's best. And so we just want to take a half step back to not be too offended at the things we see on church, as if the pastor who's up there reading the prayer of the church would never be able to pray from the heart without having something written down. So I think that's one of these things that often happens when people are developing their first and their second impressions that we just want to address right out of the box.
So what does Scripture have to say by way of the Lord's Prayer and its use that you would want your non-Lutheran family members to know?
Well, there's two. The Lord's Prayer is taught to us by Jesus himself. That's why it's called the Lord's Prayer, because he taught it to us. And it's taught twice in the Scriptures, once in Matthew 6 and once in Luke 11. Once in the Lord's Prayer, and then once in the context of Luke 11, the disciples come and say, teach us to pray. And it's really quite wonderful how the gospel writers, in fact, how Jesus himself introduces the Lord's Prayer. In Luke 11, verse 2, Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father, who art in heaven, so forth and so on. In other words, in Luke 11, Jesus says, I'm giving you the words to use. The very words to you. I want you to say exactly what I'm saying. And then in Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, in one place, Jesus is giving us the Lord's Prayer as the words to say. And in another place, Jesus is giving us the Lord's Prayer as the model to emulate. And so it's both. It's both of these things. Our Lutheran piety should reflect this profound richness, both of being able to pray the very words that the Holy Spirit has taught the prophets and the apostles to teach us to pray those words, but then also to let those words shape our own desires, our own recognition of our own desperate need and the needs of our neighbors and of the world in this life, and to also craft our prayers and petitions to the Lord in the place and in the time where the Lord has placed us, so that we don't pray by like recording a prayer in a tape recorder and then you go and press play so the Lord can hear that prayer. This is not how the Christian prays. So we're taking the very words of Scripture, we're praying them back to the Lord, and we're expanding them according to our own situation. And this becomes the richness of the Christian prayer, both in our individual life and also in the lives of our families and congregations.
You had mentioned this a moment ago. What are the dangers of prayer that is just purely from the heart, excorde prayer?
I think I was thinking about this morning. There could be more, but I got a list of four things that I think that are the dangers of pure excorde prayer. Excorde means from the heart. You're making it up. It's whatever comes to mind. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to fold my hands, and I'm just going to say whatever comes to me. So here's a couple of them. Number one, our own experience of trouble and of joy are too small. This is something interesting to think about, but I did this. This was kind of a jerk thing to do, so I'm confessing my sins. I think it also illustrates this point, is I had a pastor's meeting years and years ago, and normally before we'd have our little prayer service, I'd ask for prayer requests that we could bring before the Lord in the prayers. And I said, but I'd like to just take one request per every petition of the Lord's Prayer. So one hallowed be thy name petition, one thy kingdom come petition, one thy will be done petition, one give us this day our daily bread petition, and so forth and so on. So someone asked for a prayer for someone who was sick, hoping that the Lord would come and rescue them. I said, good, let's put that down. Fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, needs of the body, and so forth. Okay, so we wrote that down. And then I said, any other petitions? And it happened that everything that they were thinking about had to do with the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Or maybe there was those who were dying, deliver us from evil. But here's the point of that, and that was a dumb thing for me to do, and again, it was foolish, but it does illustrate this point, is that when our prayers are growing out of our own need or our own sense of what we need, it's going to be very small. They're going to be stomach prayers and conscience prayers. Give us daily bread, forgive our sins. The fourth petition and the fifth petition. Those are the needs that we feel, and not very distinctly, and often we don't know what we need in response to that, but we don't feel our need for the Lord's name and his kingdom and his will and his deliverance and so forth. So that the Lord's Prayer expands our pain so that we start to realize that our needs, our lacks, the things that we want are so much more broad and expansive than what we actually feel. We get thirsty and we get hungry and we get cold and we get lonely. But what we desperately need is the Lord's name and his kingdom and his word. And so the Lord's Prayer expands our pain. It expands our desires. It also expands our joys. We get happy when whatever, something nice happens or this and that, what, who knows? But the Lord's Prayer and the prayers of the scriptures expand our joys so that they reach up to heaven itself, so that the joy that we have is not when our name is exalted, but when the Lord's name is exalted. Our joy is not when our kingdom expands, but when the Lord's kingdom expands. And so these prayers, it's so necessary for us to be dragged outside of our own little inner lives in our prayers. And these written prayers do that. The Lord's Prayer does that. The Psalms do that. And that's one of the reasons why if someone has just the practice of only praying what's on their heart, it's going to be a really good discipline for them to pray the Lord's Prayer and also to pray the Psalms, to have our hearts and our experiences and everything like this expanded so that we know that we need so much more and that the Lord wants to give us so much more.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. It's our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Members Knew About. And today we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. He says there's a pagan problem with ex corde prayer. We'll find out what it is after this. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with The Lion's Roar. The Lord's Indictment, Part 1. The Lord's Indictment, Part 2. No Other Savior, and The Useless King. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc. Have you ever wished you could see Ad Crucem's products before buying them? Well, now you can. Ad Crucem has opened our brand new workshop in Littleton, Colorado. Come visit us and watch how we make our Christmas ornaments. Check out the quality and fabric of our church banners, or choose some greeting cards, posters, icons, or jewelry. Of course, if you can't make it to Colorado, we are still open online. For details or directions, visit adcrucem.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
We're discussing what I wish my non-Lutheran family members knew about the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you're enjoying our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Members Knew About, please join our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include books of the month, shirts, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Plus, we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, when you join the Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter. Learn more about becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. or by calling 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Brian, you say that excordate prayer has a pagan problem. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the pagan problem, Jesus says that the pagans think that they're going to be heard for their many words. Reminds us of the prophets of Baal who are dancing around and cutting themselves so that Baal will come and eat the sacrifice. And excordate prayers will have that danger of just going on and on. There's no discipline to it. So that's so that you have the pagan danger. And you also have the Pharisee danger, the Pharisee problem, which is what Jesus talks about, how the Pharisees like to pray on the corners so that everyone can see them. It becomes a show of their own great holiness. And this is a danger, again, that we just want to recognize. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pray excordate, but we recognize the danger is that when someone's praying that it becomes a show of their own piety, a show of their great holiness. So whenever it's time to pray for the meal, everyone looks around to figure out who's the closest one to God, and then they're the one that says the prayer. That's a bad situation. This is why Jesus says, when you pray, if you're praying ex corde, you should pray in the closet. If you're praying by yourself, you should pray by yourself, so that it doesn't become a big show. That, you know, this will often happen in a service where the prayer itself becomes a sermon, and you think, wait a minute, at some point he stopped talking to God and now he's talking to me. And so excordate prayer has that danger that we always want to avoid. In fact, we were talking about this in the liturgy on Sunday school, is that there's a liturgical marker where the pastor will ask for permission to pray by himself. And it's in the liturgy, in the older liturgies, where the pastor says, "The Lord be with you." And then the congregation responds, "And with thy spirit." And every time that happens, that salutation, it comes at the transition from corporate prayer to the pastor offering the prayer of the church by himself. So, for example, between the Gloria and the Collect, or between the Nunc Dimittis and the post-communion Collect. So whenever the pastor is going to take over the office of saying the prayer by himself for the whole congregation, he greets the congregation and basically asks for permission. And the congregation says, "You have the Holy Spirit, you're ordained, you're in this office, please offer the prayers." And so there's a care that's taken there that's wise, that when we start praying by ourselves, that we recognize that there's a danger and a temptation, and so we want to beware of that temptation. So there's the three problems we talked about, that our troubles and joys are too small. There's the pagan problem and the Pharisee problem. And then there's this fourth problem. If every prayer is ex corde, then you can't have corporate prayer. You simply can't pray together. If you don't know the words that you're going to say, if you're just making it up, then you can never pray a we prayer. It's always an I prayer. It's always a me prayer, never an our prayer. So the prayers as they're written down in the Psalms, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, and in other prayers that are written, that opens up now the divine gift. It's certainly, we should understand it as a gift from God, that when we come together and worship, that we are in fact praying together. There's a lot of times in the tradition that has only ex corde prayer, where people will say, you know, one person will say a petition, and the other person will say, I agree, Lord, or I confirm. And the reason why that has to happen is because there's no prayers that can be prayed together. So the only way to affirm it is to come around afterwards and, you know, put your name in the amen or something like this. But having pre-written prayers like the Psalms or the other prayers of the church allows the Lord's people to come together in prayer. And that's a really wonderful gift. And we certainly should not give up that gift. It's given to us in the scriptures.
Are there potential dangers with written prayers?
Yeah, I think there's probably more than two, but I wrote two down here thinking about it. There is a danger that Jesus warns the Pharisees of from Isaiah when he says, you draw near with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And so there is this possibility of simply mouthing the words while you're thinking about the baseball game or while you're despairing over your sin or whatever. There is a way to be a hypocrite in prayer, that you outwardly are acting as if you're seeking something from the Lord, but inwardly you're worshiping an idol. And that's certainly a great danger that we should beware of. We shouldn't cover up our own failures by these pious sounding things. That would be misusing the Lord's name as a cover for sin. But I don't think the way to address that problem is by having no written prayers at all. It's the way to address that problem is repentance and forgiveness. The other danger is that our prayers could become disconnected from our life. So there's the danger on one side that our prayers are only about our lives. There's the danger on the other side is that our prayers have nothing to do with our lives. Now, one of the great things about praying the Psalms is that we often realize that we need something or we lack something or that we're even feeling something that we didn't realize, and the Psalm brings it to our attention. But there's something like, if you get the terrible news that someone in the family has cancer and you say, well, let's go and pray Psalm 2 or something like this. Actually, that would be pretty good. But you're praying something that has not, you're just opening up a prayer book and you're praying for world peace or something like that. When there's a really specific need that's there, it's good to connect our prayers to those needs. So one of the best prayers is when Peter is walking on the water, which is amazing in itself, and he starts to sink. He starts to look at the waves instead of Jesus, and he starts to sink, and he says, Lord, help. And that's all he needs to pray, Lord, help me. And I think most of our prayers are probably our best prayers are something like this, Lord, help. Lord, have mercy. Lord, be with me. When we see trouble, we pray that the Lord would help and deliver us from those sort of situations. So to connect our prayers to the things that we are feeling is really, really good. It's really helpful. And the Bible gives us the words, but if we can't think of them, we pray what's on our mind, and we know that the Holy Spirit will help us to pray, and that he'll in fact carry our prayers to heaven, and that Jesus will take our prayers, clean them up, and deliver them to the Father so that they become now before his throne a perfect sacrifice, so that we're able to come to the Lord as dear children ask their dear Father for whatever it is that they need. And we never want to lose sight of that great gift and this beautiful gift of access to him that Jesus has won for us by his death and resurrection, so that we can stand with boldness before the throne of grace.
Finally, if you would, say a few words about, I think, something intimately connected to the Lord's Prayer, and that is Jesus' Old Testament prayer book, the Psalter.
Yeah, the Psalms are so helpful. I saw this great document, I think Professor Pless put this together, where he categorized each of the Psalms with the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, so that the Psalter is like the Lord's Prayer blown up into 150 pieces, or the Lord's Prayer is like the Psalter shriveled up into seven, kind of put it in the dehydrator and reduced down to seven petitions, concentrated, just add water. So they're intimately related to one another. And we find everything that we need or that we should ask for expanded throughout all these things. But it's really quite wonderful that in the Psalter, in the Psalms, we get this glimpse into the Christian life. One of the most comforting things that people find when they turn to the Psalter is that all of the turmoil in their own hearts and minds, all of the trouble in their own daily lives that they feel and experience, all of this is right there on the pages of the Bible. Now, I'm looking at my own life and thinking to myself, boy, I must not be a Christian if I have this anger, or if I have this frustration, or if I have this doubt, or if I have this fear, or if I have this sadness. I must not be a true follower of Jesus. And then I turn to the scripture and I say, well, wait a minute. King David had the same stuff. Asaph and these Christians who went before me, they felt these same things. So it's a beautiful testament of the inner life of the Christian and all the things that are there. But the Psalms then especially give us this gift, is that they take all of our hopes and fears, all of our sorrow and our joy, and they bring it into the worship of the Lord Jesus and into the sanctifying power of his name. In other words, it's not my inner life run amok. It's my inner life being guided and gifted by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And so the Psalms are a profound treasure that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And we should, whatever we think about this kind of idea that if it's not spontaneous, it's not spiritual, that threatens to take away the Psalter from us, we should throw out that false idea of spirituality, and we should read and we should pray the Psalms with a heart full of faith, knowing that the Lord always keeps his promises.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He posts theology on the YouTube channel, Wolfmiller One. Brian, thanks.
Thank you.
Happy 73rd birthday to the Air Force Reserve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports almost 200 chaplains who represent the church on active duty, the reserves, the National Guard, and Civil Air Patrol. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/armedforces, serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the TV series The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Our guest will be Pastor Ted Geese. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will lead us in a teaching on Proverbs 23, and we'll discuss Martin Luther, A Profile in Courage, with Dr. Ken Sherb. In the Lord's Prayer, we have a tremendous treasure. It is given to us from the very hand of Christ, from the very mouth of Christ. We ought to be praying it. We ought to be believing what it says that God will give us in each and every case, for Christ's sake. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. In St. Louis, call 314-416-8117. In the St. Louis Metro East, call 618-213-8296 and be sure to mention Issues Etc. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. 314-416-8117 or 618-213-8296.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.